We want to welcome you on this beautiful morning to Little Swatara Church of the Brethren. We're so glad you joined us for worship this morning. The Lord indeed is present with us, and we are so thankful for his love that he just flows and pours out upon us on this very special day. If you could just grab the attendance register at the end of each row and just pass that along, that would be greatly appreciated. If this is your very first time here at Little Swatara, we want to welcome you and thank you for joining us for worship. And there's a green card in the back of the pew. If you wouldn't mind filling that out for us, we'd be so thankful for that as well. As far as announcements, we want to highlight the choirs. Senior choir will not be having practice on April 22nd or May 6th, so you guys have that all notated, I'm sure. And the Jubilee choir will not be practicing again until fall, so they'll take a break until fall. We have Vacation Bible School coming up soon. We're really excited for Vacation Bible School, and we are in need a large 2-liter soda bottles. So if you drink soda out of a 2-liter bottle, we'd appreciate if you could bring those in. There's a box down at the coat rack downstairs. You can put those in, and also plastic peanut butter jars with the lids. So we would appreciate those as well for Vacation Bible School. We do have sign-ups for volleyball continuing. If you're 14 years of age or older, we'd encourage you to sign up for volleyball. And that's in the narthex, just right out those doors. And we'd love to have you part of the team to play volleyball between May and August this summer. We invite everyone to the women, not everyone, I guess. Yeah, it's everyone. Sure, why not? It's everyone. Women's Fellowship. It's breakfast, April 25th, 7 to 10 a.m. Everyone's invited to that one. It's the once upon an apron that I was looking down below my paper that just the women and the girls and their friends are invited to on May 9th at 6 o'clock. So we just want to continue to highlight that. The signups are in the foyers. How are those signups coming up? Are we getting some people coming out? All right, wonderful. So sign up for Once Upon an Apron. That's an annual spring event for the women and the girls and the friends here. And April 25th, 7 to 10 a.m. for a phenomenal breakfast time. And Triple J, if you wonder where has Triple J gone, that is back. There's been so many snowfalls and different things affecting having Triple J. If you wonder what that is, it's Jesus, Java, and Jam. So we'll have some Java at the cafe, coffee, different flavors, and we'll have some conversation about Jesus and also have some contemporary music for you at 6 to 7 tonight at the cafe. So we'd love to have you join us there tonight. And a very special occasion here at the Church of the Brethren here at Little Swatara is our Love Feast, and that's going to be held on Sunday, May 3rd at 6 o'clock. If you do need child care, just see Pam. That's for infants through 6 years old, and Pam would be glad to arrange child care for you. We would love to have everyone in attendance, and let her know by April 27th for Love Feast. Does anyone else have any announcements they'd like to highlight this morning that we didn't provide?
Extended announcement about the Once Upon an Apron. I just want to tell you, last night I was at Hobby Lobby and I bought a pattern and some material. I have not sewn from a pattern for years, but I don't have a drawer to pull out aprons like I had hats. So I think you might be showing me up this time. I got this great little retro pattern, and I want to tell you a little something. I classify aprons as I classify everything. This one, I think, is a hostess apron. And when I think of that, I think of Catherine Ziegler. If anybody's ever been invited to Catherine's house for dinner, she would have worn a hostess apron. You walk in, and the table's set. She guides you in. The fireplace is going. Everything's wonderful. You sit down to an 11-course meal. You have dessert. You come away, and you're chit-chatting and talking, and the next thing you know, playing a game, and Catherine disappears. And you turn around, and there is the table set again with 18 different other desserts. I think that if it was 1955, Catherine would have been wearing this frilly little thing that I call a hostess apron. It served no purpose other than to look fancy and look like a hostess. So Catherine, you get the queen hostess apron. So I'm going to try to make one. We'll see how it goes. Come out on May 9th to see if I accomplished this. Check it out, and don't forget to sign up so we can prepare. Thank you.
May the force be with you. I invite you to rise this morning, greet your neighbors, and say, hey, you're looking good this morning. So we invite you to rise as we begin to celebrate the Lord this morning. And just remember, when we say you're looking good, we really mean you are looking good. So thank you for being here and looking good this morning. Turn to your hymnals, number 343. My hope is built on nothing less. How much more true could that be? Amen. And we know when our lives are built on the rock, that is a solid foundation. It's an immovable foundation, and it's a foundation to which we can bring our joys and concerns. You may be seated, and we invite you to share in our joys and concerns this morning. Just a few to highlight. Sam Forey and Hershey Meyer are going to be heading in for surgeries tomorrow, and we want to keep them in prayer as they face those surgeries and just pray for any anxiety or any stress they may be having in relation to that, that they would just know that that solid rock they stand on brings ultimate peace. So we're so thankful for that. Are there others this morning that we'd like to highlight or lift up? There'll be a microphone coming around. If you can raise your hand, they'll get that to you.
Keep Curtis in your prayers. We didn't get a phone call this week, so I don't know if that's good or bad. April 19th, 1999 was a significant day in our lives. Amy was diagnosed with leukemia 16 years ago, and we all know what happened. She is going to be returning from Japan on Friday, so it'll take most of the 24 hours because she has a layover in Canada, so please keep her in your prayers all day Friday as she returns from her year abroad in Japan. Thank you.
Thank you.
I I'd like us to keep Wesley Harding in our prayers. He's suffering from cancer again, and he's getting chemo again. I think this is the fourth round with cancer in a different part of his body this time.
Okay, thank you.
I think we all had a joy the last couple days with the beautiful weather.
Amen. Amen. We're starting to see the daffodils bloom. Looking really good out there. God is amazing. Amen. Well, thank you for sharing your joys and concerns this morning. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father and pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to gather here in this place to worship you, to make your name known, that as we leave this place, our lives would permeate with love and forgiveness and with peace. Lord, we're praying for those that are returning from travels abroad. We think of Amy, and we just pray all day today and Friday, Lord, as she returns, that you would just give the planes safety as they make their route to this area. And we just thank you for her year that she had there, and pray that we would be able to share in her joy as she returns here. And we lift up Curtis as well. Continue to pray your blessings upon him, Lord, that you would just allow his focus to be on the work program, that he would be able to continue to stay there and just be able to thrive. And we just thank you for Curtis and his life, and just pray you would just abundantly bless him and his family as well. And we just lift up Sam this morning, and we lift up Hershey as they face surgeries tomorrow, Lord. We just pray for the surgeon's hands, that you would guide them. We pray for peace over their lives, that you would just remove any stress or anxiety they're feeling. And we pray that the surgeries would be a success, that they would do what needs to be done in those cases, Lord. And we give you praise. And Lord, we think of those that go through chemo and just the wear and tear that takes on a person's body, Lord. We know indeed that you are the master physician. So we're turning to you this morning, Lord, and anyone stricken with disease, we're praying in Jesus' name that you would just bring healing to them. And we just give you glory and honor, because we know your miraculous touch has been upon various individuals. And if it be your will, Lord, we just pray for healing upon those that are dealing with cancer or dealing with any other type of health struggles in this time. And we just continue to pray for those in recovery, and just pray that you would give them strength, that you would encourage them through that process, and just be with those that have lost loved ones and families and brothers and sisters and sons, daughters, granddaughters, and grandsons, Lord, and pray you would give peace in those scenarios as well, Lord. And we just turn to you this morning, Lord, and we know that you are the Lord of our lives, and we just surrender to you, Lord. You know our hearts better than we do, and we're just praying, Lord, that you would just search us, and that you would just make known to us through the Holy Spirit those things that are not pleasing to you. And during these next few moments of silent prayer, we would lift those up to you and confess and ask your forgiveness. Father, thank you for the forgiveness that you offer through the cross. That cross where your Son paid the ultimate price for each of us. Father, we pray that we wouldn't let a day go by where we forget that very fact of just how much love you poured out through your Son, that we would be forgiven, that we would be set free, and that we would be able to be transformed and live new lives. So, Father, we just turn to you and ask that you would indeed hear our prayers of confession, and we would receive your forgiveness and turn from that sin, Lord. And we just thank you for the freedom that is offered through the cross. Lord, we just pray this service would be glorifying and honoring to you, Lord. We pray that our lives would reflect you as we go through each day, Lord. We pray that we would be mindful of the image that we're portraying, and may we be image bearers of what it looks like to follow Jesus and grow closer to you on a day-by-day basis. Thank you for being here among us. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to worship you. And we pray that it indeed would be pleasing. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
the Sabbath when I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. He whipped and they stripped and they hung me high, and they left me there on the cross to die.
There's pain wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dead, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dead, said he. I danced on the Friday and the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. My body and they thought I'd go, but I am the dance and I still go on. They cut me down and I left a mark. I am a life that I'll never, never die. A living here and a living me.
Very much. Invite the teens, and you're wondering, what are the teens? The children and the teens to come forward this morning. So we have a message for the children and the teens this morning. So if y'all want to come forward, I will share in a little discussion of emptiness and love. What's up, man? Good morning, good morning. Good morning. I like your necklace. That's very nice. Hi, Anthony. Good morning. Good morning. It's so, so good to see all you guys. So I have three very important things to me in this bag. One of the things that I enjoy in my life is popcorn. Do any of you guys like popcorn? Now, there's two kinds of popcorn. There's the popcorn that's light, and then there's the popcorn that has lots and lots and lots of butter. How many of you like that kind? Yeah, that's the kind I like too. I think they call it movie theater butter popcorn.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, I love it too. And you know, I have something in my bag that makes it even more incredible. Can you even imagine movie theater butter popcorn being better?
No.
It can be. It can be. This stuff is called Pop Toppers, and it is cheesy cheddar is the flavor of it. Now, my favorite flavor, you know what my favorite flavor is, Anthony? Do you want to take a guess? Mm-hmm. Which one? What do you think it is? Middlesworth makes a good chip. Sour cream and onion. Sour cream and onion. Between sour cream and onion chips and sour cream and onion popcorn, life is complete. Hey, we're not going to take that quite out of the bag yet. Okay, so I'm going to hand this to someone who wants the cheesy cheddar popcorn. You want that? Now, I want you to imagine you've got that big bowl of popcorn in front of you, and you want to have lots and lots of the cheesy cheddar flavoring on it. So you're not actually going to dump it on there, but imagine for a moment that you dumped all of that cheesy cheddar popcorn onto your popcorn, cheesy cheddar onto your popcorn, and your container was empty. What are you feeling right now? You're feeling very sad. What if I told you that was the absolute last container of cheesy cheddar popcorn seasoning? You'd be very, 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 very sad. And I would too. And I'm sure a lot of the other people who enjoy seasoning on their popcorn would be sad too. But we're gonna also go to another favorite thing in my life. Another favorite thing in my life is peanut butter and jelly. Do you guys like peanut butter and jelly?
Why would you
You know, it's kind of funny. In the first service, there wasn't really a lot of peanut butter and jelly fans. I am so glad there's peanut butter and jelly fans. Now, my particular favorite is crunchy. You guys like crunchy peanut butter or creamy? How many crunchy fans? How many creamy fans? Yeah. Well, this is crunchy peanut butter. Who wants to hold the crunchy peanut butter? You want to hold the crunchy peanut butter? Here, you want to come get it? Now, you're going to open it, okay? Here, hand it to him. There we go. Okay. Now, open it, and I want you to tell me, what do you see inside there? Can you get it open? You're doing a great job.
Peanut butter.
You like peanut butter? Is there a lot in there? Do you think there's enough in there for one more sandwich? No. Go show Hershey. Hershey's right here in the red tie. Ask him, is there enough peanut butter left in there for one more sandwich? What do you think? Wouldn't be very much. It'd probably be a half of a sandwich. I meant to bring a piece of bread to show I could get at least one more sandwich out of that, but that peanut butter jar is just about empty. So I want you to think about this. What if that was the last jar of chunky peanut butter? How would you feel about that? Would you feel sad? Yeah. I can't imagine a world without cheddar, cheesy seasoning, and without peanut butter. But I was introduced to something, thanks to my wife right there. She introduced me to something called, you ever see something like this before?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently you're supposed to eat these with a spot of tea. So if you don't have a cup of tea, you should probably not bite into this because it's very chewy, like it's crunchy. Do you like crunchy things? Because if you bite into that, I mean, it is like, it's feel how solid that is. You can't even break it in half. But the best part about this biscotti, what do you see on the top of that? What do you see on the top of that? You guys see what's on top of that? Oh, yeah. You know Pastor Matt's favorite, chocolate. There is chocolate. Chocolate on the top of that biscotti. Do you want to hear that? You want to hold that? Now, has any of you ever had a biscotti before?
No.
they're children of the... So those have... Here, I'm going to hold you. Come right here. Here we go. So I want you to imagine that there's no more biscottis. Imagine you tasted it and the biscotti was all gone and there's no more biscottis. We would be sad in that regards too. You know what that creates in us? It creates an emptiness. All of those things, because there are no more, there's an emptiness. What are some ways, Anthony, you want to answer this one for me? What are some ways we try to fill the emptiness in our lives? What might we do? Can you think of anything? Flying cats? Wait, what? What? I can't, I'm sorry.
Cats.
Playing tag?
No, flying cats.
Flying something. It's flying something. No? Okay. All right. What else do we do to try to fill the emptiness in our lives?
I think we could go to the market and get something else.
Okay. Go to the market and get something else. Okay. Those were my three favorite, but you could do that. Yeah, that would fill your emptiness. What else would you do?
We can go to the store and get some more things.
Okay. So expand your horizons and try different things. What about, do you go to your friends when you're feeling empty inside? Maybe you're facing like a test or you have PSSAs, like you guys over there. Like, what do you do to deal with like that kind of emptiness, like stress in your life? What do you do then? Do you listen to music? Anyone listen to music? Yeah, music shapes our lives. But we search in life to try to fill that emptiness in our lives with so many different things. But there's actually only one thing that truly fills that emptiness. Do you know what that is? Not peanut butter, no. Although that does fill those empty crevices in your stomach when you eat a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. What do you think it is? God, and it's a particular characteristic of God that he gives each and every single one of us. And he has abundance of it. It says that God is love. And so to fill that emptiness in our lives, what I'm going to encourage us to do is to turn to God and accept that love. Have you ever stood in a rainstorm?
Yeah.
You ever stood in a rainstorm? Did you have a raincoat or an umbrella? You ever get caught in a rainstorm?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just pours over your head and it just drips down over your body and you're just soaked. It's like wetter than being in a shower sometimes. Now think about that in terms of God's love. He has so much love for you that he wants to soak you in it. He wants you to feel love in such an abundant way. And do you think God's love ever runs out?
No.
No. You can take a vacuum cleaner and you can hook it up to God's love and you could never run that vacuum cleaner long enough to drain God of all his love. He has enough love for the 6.1 billion people in the world. That's a pretty cool thing, right? Thumbs up?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
I have a McQueen umbrella, so I won't get wet.
The McQueen umbrella keeps you from getting wet. Yeah, but when it comes to God's love, just let that pour over you. Do you like that too?
I have a ladybug raincoat.
Ladybug raincoat, cool. Superman. All right, well, let's pray. I'm so excited to hear about all the different raincoats. But next time it rains, just to remember the children's moment and teen moment this morning, let the rain just pour over you and think about God's love. You have a rain jacket too? Yeah, those are good to have when it's raining. But when it comes to God's love, just let it flow through you. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for these children. Just thank you for the love that you have for them, you have for each of us. And we pray that they would just be able to feel that in such a powerful way when they're going through times of things are empty and things just don't feel quite right. We pray that you would just overcome them with that love that you have for them that is unconditional. It's a love that doesn't have any type of string attached. And we just turn to you, Lord Jesus, and pray that you would let them know your love in a new way, in a powerful way. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. You're sitting on my foot. Yes. I share with you from Revelation 22. It says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. As we give this morning, remind ourselves that we are indeed that light, that when we give as cheerful givers, the Lord is pleased. Let us dig deep into our hearts and seek that which God calls us to give this morning. Let's pray. Father, there are simply no words to thank you for the provisions that you give us on a daily basis. Lord, you meet our needs, and above and beyond those needs, we pray that we would use those gifts to bless others. Father, thank you for providing for us. Thank you for the gift of life, for the gift of knowing that this life is only temporary and we're here for just a little while longer. So Lord, we just turn to you and ask that you would guide our hearts as we give this morning and help us to be cheerful givers. And we pray abundant blessings over the giver. And we thank you for each one, the way they serve, the way they give of their life to this church. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Just a moment, we're going to watch a video that portrays an act of love, an act of service, an act of resisting retaliation through the Nigerian crisis that we've been seeing throughout the past several months and years. And before we watch the video, I want to invite us to read our scripture lesson this morning from 1 John. If you could grab your pew Bibles, we'll be in chapter 3, 1 John 3, and I'd like us to read that together prior to watching the video and see how it unfolds. So 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. Therein is the reading.
Students at this Islamic school in the city of Jos, Nigeria, know about the violence that has gripped their country. Despite their playful demeanor, they are well aware that a few years ago, roving bands of Christians burned much of their school and killed five of their fellow students in retaliation for Muslim attacks and killing of Christians during a time of religious violence in Jos. But what they're now learning is that there's a group of Christians, Ecclesia Yanawa a Nigeria, or the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria, who are modeling another way of living, something other than retaliation. Through an interfaith organization set up by EYN staffer Marcus Gamachi, money from the Church of the Brethren in the U.S. was used to give the school something it badly needed, running water. This borehole in the school grounds was drilled for the school as a way of making a simple statement that people of both faiths can work together and build relationships.
It is a risk for all the students to go out to look for water. That is number one. It is really a risk, should in case of any crisis. And number two, it will also disturb their studies. Going out to look for water is another time for bathing and cleaning and washing. That was the reason why COB said they will be very grateful for this place to have water flowing.
The project is not yet done. This first well has not performed adequately during the dry season, so further drilling will take place. But it will happen because one group of Christians decided to break the cycle of hate and violence, believing that we are all children of the same God.
We are all a human beings, and we Muslims and Christians, we are created by one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are all trying to worship Allah, to worship God. So we have to unite, we have to cooperate, we have to assist each other so that we will continue to be in peace, to pray to say our prayers. So this is very, very important.
In the midst of persecution and a seemingly unending trail of death, destruction, and displacement of members of the church, EYN remains committed to building bridges across the lines of faith through reaching out to Muslim communities by digging wells for them, convening opportunities for interfaith dialogue, by providing houses and relief supplies not only to Christians, but also Muslims who have been forced to leave their homes as well to escape violence. Building peace, following the example of Christ, step by step in small, quiet ways, not knowing where they might lead or whose life they might influence.
That is the only way that we can give the real natural love of God to them. When Jesus said in the Matthew chapter 5, verses 43, that love your enemies, pray for them, and give them food, Exactly, that is what is happening. By the special grace of God, we are receiving more support from the Muslims, and they are also blessing the church. They always say that they have never seen this kind of a church. And many Christians are also even amazed that, yes, after killing, after being that UIN is the most affected, is the most destroyed, we still run after them. But I believe that it is the right thing to do at the right time.
Pray for our brothers and sisters. Lord Jesus, you know the persecution that our brothers and sisters in Nigeria are facing. Lord, you know that they're seeking another way of living to demonstrate peace, to show love to their enemies. And Lord, I believe you are calling us here to that very same cause. Father, we pray that you would allow a hedge of protection to be around us as we serve in this world. That as we go into places where love is needed, where hope is needed, that you would give us direction, you would guide us. Lord, help us to go outside of our comfort zone. Help us to know that it is through us that your gospel message will go forth. Let us not take this lightly, but let us serve obediently and surrender our all in all to you, that we might be replicas of divinity, that we might be peacemakers, that we might be examples of love as we serve and as we show others who Christ is through our lives. Father, thank you that these brothers and sisters of ours have made that decision to decide that they are children of God, and they won't allow the enemy to deflate that, to affect that, to change the way that they behave. So Lord, too, help us in that same regards, that we might shine our lights and we might show your love to others. In Jesus' name, amen. For many of us here this morning, we can't imagine our mother, our father, our brother, our sister, or any friend of ours being killed for the sake of being a Christian. It's simply not something here that we're very familiar with. But we do know in Nigeria, it is something very real. And as we look to our brothers and sisters, we're given an example. We're given another way of living. And as the Church of the Brethren, we claim to have a peace stance. But I invite you this morning to ponder just how deep that goes within your life. Consider for a moment the last time you found yourself in conflict, perhaps even with a brother or sister in the faith. Or perhaps even with someone at work or in the community. Often, and I'm guilty as well, we want revenge. We prefer to say to that individual, I'm not going to continue to love you, continue to serve you, but I will do something against what you have done to me. And that is the way that we live in this world. After that happens, we often do feel regret. We do wish we wouldn't have responded in the same way. But the question we ask ourselves is, what made me act in such a way? What characterized me to say that I have to get revenge on that individual? Perhaps this morning our scripture lesson can give us a bit of advice in that regards. From the very beginning, it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Sometimes I feel as though we go through this life, we forget that very fact that we are children of God. We forget that we've been bought at a price. And sometimes it takes that reminder, that great price that God went to lavish that love upon us. And we all know, as we just celebrated the Easter season, it was his son that he sent to the cross. His one and only son that paid the price for our sins. And it's not just one time of the year. At Easter, we celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate that on a daily basis, knowing that sin has been conquered, knowing that death itself has been conquered. And so as we strive to live that life committed to Jesus, we do well to remind ourselves, am I getting revenge or am I being a peacemaker? Am I willing to say I will continue to love my brother or sister despite our differences? That's a difficult path for us to walk. It's not something natural to us to be able to say, I forgive you. It's not natural for us to be able to look at the world we live in and not see injustice. But injustice does exist, and as Christians, we are just traveling through. We're just passing by. For we know Scripture tells us that this world is not our home. In fact, it calls us strangers. It calls us aliens. And people don't know the way that we live, don't understand the way that we live because they don't know the Father. But brothers and sisters, our mission, our goal in this life is to make the Father known. The question we ask ourselves this morning is, how are we doing? How well are we showing God's love to others? How well are we demonstrating peace in conflicting situations? I can't answer that question for each of you, but I know in my own life it becomes a challenge because our mindset is to want to do something against that which has been done to us. But if we continually seek to live as children of God and we continue to allow that love that He has poured out through that cross upon us and allow that love to permeate us, and we're characterized by it, love is what's going to flow from us. And when we face that adversity, when we face that difficulty, love will be our natural response. Only we ourselves can answer how much we believe God loves us. Sometimes we base our value on what others think. We base our values on the opinions of the tabloids or the marketplace of what is in, if you will. But brothers and sisters, our image is based on Christ and what He's done for us. It chooses to change us. Love, we understand, never allows us to be the same. So this morning, we look at our lives. We do an inventory. And we look not too far in the past and realize, you know, I made a mistake. But there's a difference as this passage speaks of. It says, everyone, in verse 3, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now, in the beginning verse, it used this word lavished. I don't know why, but as soon as I think of the word lavished, I come up with the word lather. Strange mind I have. But when you consider purifying and you consider lather, lather is brought about by a cleansing agent, isn't it? Soap, perhaps, or body wash. And so when you think of love lavished upon you, think also in terms of lathering yourself to cleanse yourself of the impurities, to make yourself pure. For we know this morning we are children of God. Our lives have been reborn. Our lives are not the same. We're new in Christ. Our hearts, our minds have been transformed. We're renewed daily by the Spirit. So this morning, as we look at the example of our brothers and sisters, may we be reminded to serve our enemies. May we be reminded to love those that persecute us and allow us not to take revenge. Because you know, when you truly think about it, revenge is what the enemy wants. It's the place he wants us to be. For when we're thinking like the enemy and retaliating, it's exactly the kind of response he desires. So let us stand upon that rock we sang of earlier. Let us be characterized by what Jesus was characterized by: love, peace, bringing joy to lives, encouraging one another, uplifting one another. It's a choice, and it's daily. And so this morning, look into your life and decide for yourself, am I a peacemaker? Am I characterized by love? Or do I really need to take a look at what love really is? And do I recognize that unconditional love that God has for me, that he showed through that cross when Jesus died there for me? It's certainly not something I'd ever want to take lightly. And I pray that none of us would either. But I love the verse in verse 2. It says, "Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." I'm not sure how many of your minds work visually, but I can only imagine what that day is going to be like when Christ returns, and in an instant, we're transformed to look like him. There was a preschool teacher asked their class, "What does God look like?" And this little boy, he starts to draw on a piece of paper. And the preschool teacher comes over and starts to look over his shoulder. And he said to the little boy, "What are you drawing?" And the little boy said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher, in her kind, gentle voice, said, "But son, I'm sorry, we don't know what God looks like." And the little boy, with a bright smile, just looks up at his teacher and he says, "Well, now they will." There's just something about the imagination of a child. And we can only begin to think that beautiful face of Jesus that we too shall portray. What a day to look forward. What a reason to prevent ourselves from continuing to sin. To turn and know that that sin doesn't have to capture us, doesn't have to hold us in a place of bondage, that we can be set free. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would help us to do what is right. Because we do recognize, Lord Jesus, that we are your children. But Father, we know that anyone who doesn't love his brother is considered, from Scripture's point of view, a child of the devil. And Lord, I don't want to be associated with that individual whatsoever, and I know none of my brothers and sisters do either. So Lord, we're praying that we would lather ourselves with forgiveness, that we would soak ourselves in your love and turn from the sin that permeates deep within, no longer letting it have a grip on us. Father, thank you for that great love that you have poured upon us, that we are indeed your children. Father, help us to let the world know who you are through our actions, through the way we serve, through the way we deny ourselves and meet the needs of others. Lord, be glorified. Lord, help us be your vessels. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand for our final hymn this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Thank you. 427.
State fan, but there's something when you're in Beaver Stadium when they say, "We are," and then they respond Penn State, that just empowers you. So as we go out this morning, may we know that we are children of God. So I'm going to say, "We are," and you're going to shout, "Children of God." Are you ready? We are
children of God.
We are
children of God.
May we live as though indeed we are children of God, demonstrating His love to others around us. Amen. Mm-hmm.